All right, we're back for a OK Gamer special episode. This is the God of War spoiler cast, so this is it. This is your final warning, your only warning. If you have not finished God of War and you don't want the game to be spoiled, stop listening.
Fuck you doing here, then.
Exactly, like Pat said. Fuck you doing here, then. So I'm here with Pat and Andy, and we're going to just fucking get right into this because I'm dying and I want to go home. So, guys, the ending. The little... I don't know where you guys even want to start with this. How do you guys want to start with this?
Oh, we can start with the end.
We'll start with the middle.
What part of the middle?
When Kratos gets the blades
when
back.
When he fucking jerks himself, or when I jerk myself off to the game.
So that whole scene of like him like slowly unraveling them and them glowing. Like,
it was good.
And as soon as he said like, I need to go home, I was like...
Well, I like...
I need a new weapon. He's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. I didn't think that he was going to get the blades back.
You thought he was going to get the giant fists back.
No, I thought he was going to go...
Yeah, those dumb
legitimately thought he was going back to, like Brock or Sindri to, like, have them force.
Hey, boys, make me new things.
Like, I thought honestly, with the whole... Not reboot, but, like...
Yeah, I didn't, like...
Stepping on point, they were going to, like, all right, Blades of Chaos is in the past. It's all about the Leviathan.
Yeah, and I thought he was, like... Yeah, I kind of thought he was going to be, like...
Well, the shield is from... The shield's a throwback, too.
Yeah.
So,
is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I just thought he was going to, like... He was on, like, such a path of growth for himself that he was just going to, like, not even... Like, he was just going to try to get something new. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when he went back home... It was really cool, actually. I was watching somebody play it on YouTube. Like, the beginning part when Baldur shows up. And you make the kid get down in the hole.
Yeah.
After you beat Baldur and you go back and he opens the
you could see
the kid, you could see, like, the little... The wrap that he's got the blades, and you can see it sticking out from underneath the floor. And I'm like,
"Oh, he also
that's
says
cool.
you
it's
told
cool
me
little detail."
Yeah, Atreus also says like you told me to never go down there.
Yeah,
for like obvious reasons because he's got like that down there.
Yeah, yeah, those are a big deal. I should have said this before. So obviously with the spoiler cast, like there's no rhyme or reason to like we're not going to tell you the whole story of the game.
No, we're just going to spew.
Yeah, so we're hoping that you've played, you know, the whole thing. That way, like the shit that we spew is not just completely lost or foreign on you. So yeah, obviously we were just in the middle of the game talking about the blades.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess to me, like that whole sequence with like you have to get in the boat and it just like puts you on that fast track, like back to the house.
It's like super somber and
yeah,
like
and that
Athena pops up.
Yeah, yeah, that was so well done in the sense that it like was like, oh, I gotta go back home, and it wasn't like it didn't make you like slog back to the house because like mm-hmm. you couldn't fast travel there yet. You'd have to like go all the way back and get in a fucking boat by yourself and like go through the Lake of the Nine. It was just like, oh, my boat's right here. It'll take you back to your house. Like go.
Yeah.
And like you knew like the like obviously during that sequence, like you were like Atreus is like dying, you know, and it was like you need this certain item, like you have to get it from me, otherwise he's gonna be fucking toast. So get back in that boat and go. And like you guys are saying, Athena pops up, and then like that was really when like the game really starts to be like, oh yeah, the past is catching up to you in the sense of like you need to tell your son who you are, like which it was your dog, man.
I know, I can't. She's so fucking like, I'm sorry, I'm so distracted.
It's easy to attract by her. So That was really well done to me. And it was like in the sense of like you're getting to the point in the story where it was like a tipping point almost where it was like, oh, I mean, obviously, yeah, it boiled over in the sense because like the kid freaked the fuck out. And like,
and then there's still half of a game left.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the part that blew my like.
I was like, oh, this game's over in like 2 hours.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't got much left. And then like I just kept playing and I was like, wow.
It was another like 4 hours, 6 hours. So murdering the god and then you're the boy freaking out and like going into like Spartan rage mode, but he's like his little boy body wasn't ready for it. Yeah,
murder Magni real good, and he's like, wah!
That fight was really cool. So
before we get back to that, just still on the Blades of Chaos. Just a heads up, I'm gonna be spewing a lot of like shit that Corey Balrog has said himself because I've been reading interviews, listening to podcasts,
Balrog.
Like a little spoilerific with him, Balrog.
Spoilerific.
Balrog. But what he was talking about the Blades of Chaos specifically, saying that they're so iconic that they're almost a character.
Yeah, no, that makes
so
sense.
So he was like, when you know, working on previous God of War games, like they always had different weapons besides the Blades of Chaos, but none of them were as good or as crazy as that because that is on the cover of every game. Mm-hmm. Like that's Kratos' weapon, so it can never be as good as that or as memorable.
Well, yeah,
as that
I mean they are burned into his
exactly.
Yeah,
and I feel like they did like they almost treated the blades as like a character unveiling in the previous, like the current game, especially because of how small that cast of characters like is. It's like 8 people. So when you get them, it's almost like it's just like an old friend coming back. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh, I got this new weapon, I can kick ass. But it's like the whole thing with Shot, like, are you saying, like, you're slowly getting there. It's building up to, like, wow, like, something's going to happen, and it ends up like, oh, it's an old friend. It's my fucking Blades of Chaos. And so it was interesting that they treated them not just as a weapon.
Well, but it was written into the story so well, too, because it was like, you have to go to an area of the game where everything's frozen. And it was like,
so it makes sense.
And you have an axe that is a frozen power or freezes things. So it was like, what can I get? That's a fire weapon. You know, they wrote it into the story so well. It was very carefully done and like, you know, architecture type of stuff, you know.
I still, I spoiled that for myself on accident. Like, I clicked on
Didn't, which was great.
I clicked on a Twitch stream.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, woof, woof. I'm like, oh, come the fuck on.
Spinning them around but like
I seriously
madman.
Thought that we weren't going to see them just because I thought they were trying to distance themselves
well, at the beginning of the game,
God of War.
In the beginning of the game, early on, there's a sequence where Kratos is like tying the, you know, his bandages up.
Bandages
and
off.
I thought that was going to be it.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's definitely like hiding his past. Like, mm-hmm. he's moving away. Like, and it was like, to me, those were like really cool nods of like, this is like a character that's changing and like evolving.
Yep.
You know, and it was like, but then them to go back and be like, oh, no, he can't. Like, you cannot get away from who he was. Like, it is a very important part. You know, it was like, and then, like, how, like I said, how it was introduced in the sense of, like, Atreus was hurt. You had to, you obviously, like, a father is going to go, you know, to literally the depths of hell, you know, will go all the way to do what he has to do for his family. You know, and it was like, he was so against bringing up his past, but it was like, nah, I need these now. Like, there, here we are. Like, so that sequence of the game was really great.
Yeah,
so.
I like that they just like let you just let loose with them too, like immediately after getting them. They're just like, here, kill all this stuff. Like,
yeah, you know what's funny like too is I thought they were going to drop like a boss in there, like Baldur or somebody who was going to be like waiting for you back at the house. But then when you get out and it was just like, here's a quick tutorial with these like just grunt type enemies. You know?
Just like, just kill all this stuff. Real
quick. And it was cool. There was that enemy type that they introduced early on, but it was like,
they can
these
only be damaged by bare hands.
Yeah, so it was
until
like
that point.
Yes, which was really cool. So, you know, and we've talked about it before, like how this game is crafted and like it's so thoughtful, and like there is another aspect of it too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I mean, yeah, that whole me and you talked about this like briefly. We talked about it last week also, but like, even like for people that, you know, didn't maybe play like the first three games, maybe they only play like one of them, like, you know, some of the impact might be lost on them, but they still did it well enough that like you can tell that it's like very significant and that it's like a big deal that these are coming back, that you're getting these weapons again, which I thought was really well done.
Yeah, there was someone's talking about it on Giant Bomb. You know, he was saying that he played through it and he's never played any of the previous ones. And they don't talk about that in moments specifically, but he said that, like, he felt like, you know, the story was just, like, he got a lot from the story, you know, as for someone that, like, just read, like, the wiki page on God of War and, like, never played any of the games, that he felt that it was very well crafted, that he was able to take away a lot from it. Like, you didn't need to play the previous games. Like, I, as someone that did, felt like they felt more meaningful to me.
Same.
But, like, it's good to hear that it wasn't totally lost on somebody.
Yeah, I think it's definitely set up where you could play it and not have had played those. I mean, I've only beaten three. I didn't beat one or two, and I barely remember one or two. But I just have, like, I have a general knowledge of God of War and everything he's done, so it's, like, different for me. But, like, the stuff with Zeus may not have had been as impactful for someone that didn't play it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Zeus storyline starts really in the second one, like, right at the beginning.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when they bring in, it's like, God of War, which I love they did it in the first person.
Oh,
for
yeah,
a little bit,
because
that's how you fucking beat down Zeus in God of War 3.
Yeah,
so I thought that was
like
really cool.
The ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else are we going to talk about?
We can talk about some of the boss fights, unless you guys want to just get right to the end of
fucking,
the game.
First off, the first fight against Baldur, Boner City.
Oh, you mean the Dragon Ball Z
Dragon
fight?
Ball Z superhero fight in the woods.
Well, like, that to me was like, obviously Kratos is like trying to humanize himself and like he's just a guy and like living in the woods, but like you know who he is. And like that was such like a quick ass way to be like, yo, you're still the God of War.
Yeah, like you're like, still a pimp, dog.
Yeah, like you're still pretty much immune. Like, you know, you're gonna fucking, like, you know, this guy pretty much is like, ah, you can't hurt me. And like, you're still like figuring out who he is, you know, and like when he, like, you fucking literally like throw him through a rock and then he like just shakes everything off.
No, you just put a rock on him.
Yeah, you put that rock on him.
Down. I have
yeah.
that.
So like the first Baldur fight is like the quickest way where it was like, oh, Kratos is still a badass, but like no, he's still the badass.
Yeah,
you
they
know?
Give
it's
you like, they do a really good job of like making it like kind of like you're like, is this guy like for real right now? And then he punches you through your roof.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Punches you over your house.
Well, yeah, he like punches you into the house and you flip and all this shit. And I was like, oh.
He's for real.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
And then you hit him with a tree.
Oh, yeah, which what's cool, please. Too, is, like, so at the beginning of the game, too, when, like, the house trembles and you and Atreus are like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And, like, there's that, like, quiet knock on the door, and you just hear, like, the drunken, like, that man sound like he was drunk all the time, like, the, you know, the slur of Baldur. And, like, you were like, what? Why did he come flying in on? And you later find out that that motherfucker flies around a dragon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That was also, like, I love the, every Baldur fight was fucking great. Like,
the last one was awesome with Freya yelling at you the entire time. Yeah.
Freya
re-woke
the dead giant.
Yeah.
Like,
every Baldur fight was great. Like, I loved the fight that starts on the up by where Mimir's body is, that you end up on the dragon and you're like, fuck the dragon
where
up.
Your son is like,
where he's
starts
like,
being a piece of
shit
and shoots you with an arrow.
It was,
he does shoot you with an arrow.
It's when he
it was all
the
leading
gate.
Up to that. It was when he was being the kid, Atreus was being a dickhead up to that point.
He finds that he's a god, and
well,
he's like, I'm a ball bag.
And, like, anybody that thinks they wouldn't react the same way as Atreus, you're fucking stupid, because you know for a fact he would.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm a god?
They did such a
cool,
good job
dude.
At, like, making you hate him for, like, those 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yo, when he fucking talked to Sindri.
Oh, I was so mad.
Yeah,
yo,
we talked about it last week. I was
you don't
mad.
Get homeboy lip
yeah,
like
I was,
that,
I was
dude.
Pissed.
Yeah, I love when he apologized. I was like, fuck, man, this game is really good.
Yeah, I was so mad at that.
Also, like, whenever.
Sindri got so sad.
I
was like, no.
Anytime.
Tired of these little people and their little problems.
Yeah. Oh, that line hurt. And then also what was really cool about that is if, like, you explored the world and, like, did other things, anytime you use Sindri.
Whatever.
Oh, Sindri was
Sindri would always make the comment, like, oh, now he wants my help.
Oh, you want
my
help.
Yeah, he would always, like, be like you know, fuck off, man.
You're going to talk about Atreus, how he was like, whatever.
That drove me crazy. Because it was like you had to use him for, like, puzzle type stuff,
and
he would always.
If I could take away your godness, I fucking would. I'd
shove
him right up your ass.
Oh, yeah. Like, for every parent that played this game and, like, had those moments where the kids
were probably like,
yeah, they were just losing their mad about, like,
my kid this to me today, but it's fucking broccoli. Like,
yeah, exactly. So,
sorry.
And then,
the fuck up.
Yeah. I guess a good segue now would be into the being that we were just talking about Baldur and Freya was the reveal that is Freya is the mother of Baldur,
yeah,
so
which is like a thing you would have known if you know anything about Norse mythology, but I don't,
yeah, well, like most people,
so
only
I
really
don't,
me, it was like, no, for me, it was like. Huh,
yeah,
that is
yeah,
cool.
Same. Like,
yeah.
I have like a general knowledge of Norse mythology.
Yeah, because like
and
the reason he is the like that way is exactly the like the real mythology is like why it is that way in the game where she's like she's just a mother that didn't want her child
she didn't want
to feel
her,
any pain.
Yeah, so she took away all his ability to feel,
which ended up making him hate her.
So yeah, the end of it. So obviously, Baldur is like a huge pain in the ass the entire game.
He's like the antagonist of the game.
Yes. So. Obviously, when you find out that Freya is, you know, that's the son of Freya and that you have to murder him. And then, like, the way the game ends, essentially, with Freya freaking the fuck out on you.
Saying, I will kill you.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, but.
And then Mimir is like, you know.
We had to do it, you know.
Yeah, he's like, you know, she just lost a son. Like, how would you react?
Yeah.
What's really funny, too, is that, like, that right after that part, Kratos is like. She'll get over it. Like, no, she's not.
I know.
No, she won't. What are you talking about?
Well, because, like, to save her life, he had to kill, you know, but then, like, Mimir,
but she was
Mimir
willing
says.
To give her
yes.
life to save
yeah. yes.
Baldur's.
Yeah, so, but, like, you know, you obviously knew what had to happen. Like, you also broke the spell, and which, like, plays into the story aspect of, like, the why she freaked out when you had the elf.
Those arrows.
The elven arrows, you know, because those could break the spell. So, fucking, when Baldur fucking, like, whops Atreus in the stomach, and he's like, oh, he's bleeding, or, like, when Kratos is like, son, like, boy, there's blood, and he's like, it's not mine, dad. I was like, oh, what? I freaked out. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I, at first, I was like, oh, shit, this kid's smart, and then I was like, no, he just got punched, and that happened to be
there. But then, like, when he got, when the bloodline, I was like, oh, fuck, Atreus just got, like, fucked up. Like, this is, like, something's gonna happen, and then it was,
I mean,
like...
still got kind of fucked up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking
so,
rocked.
He got rocked by Baldur. But still, when that happened, I was like, ah, fuck, man. Like, this is game. God damn it.
Because
then, like, she throws all the arrows away, but, like, that one piece that is used to fucking...
tie his quiver
together.
Yeah, man. It's fucking, like I
said... Everything in that game had, like, a reason. Something as small as, let me fix your quiver, boy.
Yeah. Breaks the arrow, the elven arrows, you know, so... Yeah, very, very well crafted. So we're like, as we're kind of talking through this, we're finding out more and more stuff that obviously like, we all enjoyed. But, like, the end of the game, obviously, like, you throw the ashes, you bring them up. That's, like, such a touching moment. But then, like, when you get to, like, the land of the giants and how all that stuff unfolds with Kratos' mom. Atreus' wife. So
that reveals that he's... Yeah,
she's a giant.
Faye, who is a giant, who's a man-sized giant, apparently.
Well, they say, Mimir says numerous times, like, giant's more of a race and has nothing to do with size.
Atreus says that at the beginning. Atreus says
it. So, like, a giant doesn't have to be big, just like how the World Serpent is huge, massive compared to the size of the other giants that you saw, like, dead.
Yeah.
So that just, like, sets that up.
Yeah, and then, you know, the reveal that Atreus is Loki.
Did you see what Corey said about that?
No.
That wasn't the plan. They were going through the game was being made, and the writer was like, I have an idea. Like, what if we...
Yeah, I think he did an interview with, like, GameSpot, like, about that
Loki,
or something.
Yeah.
I thought he said that the
line that he says is a line they pitched.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking use that. Just, like, the unsureness, like, he's never heard it before. Like, just use that. Like,
which was, I think it was a very smart idea to do that. The pitch and the idea to have Atreus be Loki was, like, super smart on their part, because that leads the other games in towards, like, Ragnarok, because Loki and his sons are the ones that, you know,
they say that Ragnarok's coming numerous times. Yeah. The winter starts at the end of the game.
So, yeah, they talk about it, and then the reveal that Atreus is Loki, because, like I was just about to say, like, Loki and his sons are the ones that cause Ragnarok in Norse mythology. So, you know, the fact that they're even, like, you know, bringing up the fact that Loki obviously exists is cool. Huge.
So to go right into that, we could talk about, like, the post, I don't even know, post credit. But when you finish the game, you go to the top of the mountain, scatter the ashes, you find out who Atreus really is, and, like, the, you know, all the writing on the walls that's telling his story, you know, and, like, all of, like, that, I don't even know what you would call it, like, foreshadowing, I guess, or, like, the...
Well, it's mostly it's pretty much unfolding the story up to that point, and then there's, like, a one that's covered that kind of opens up a little bit. And from what it looked like to me, at least, it looked like Atreus holding Kratos on his lap. Like, it looked like Kratos was dying.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is there's more to that they allude to.
That was, like, the foreshadowing part of that.
But obviously, when you return home, which is something that, like, they say it to you numerous times, where it was like, maybe we should go home.
Yeah,
but, like, you don't have to, which I thought was very well done. But from you guys, like, hearing you guys talk about it, I immediately went back to the house and got that, like, next little cutscene.
That was really funny. It was Andrew texting me about how to get back to his house.
And it's literally on the map. It's his home.
Yeah.
Like, it was late.
On the way to the left.
It was late.
Like, literally, you go to the gates, there's a list of locations, and one of them is home.
That's what I did. I was like, yo, just go to the fast travel door and select the one that says home.
It was late. I was tired.
Our sweet boy. So, yeah, so what happens there is you're real sleepy because you did all that stuff. And you sleep for years. You never napped. But, yeah, you sleep for years, and you wake up to Thor just fucking knocking on the door.
Yeah.
So... which was so sick.
Surprised. I was like, when I beat the game, I was like, really? No Thor, no Odin. Asgard is in the fucking realm wheel. Like, I was like, and they talk about them the entire time, and then not seeing him until the end.
So I haven't done any post game stuff yet. Besides, like I finished the game, got all the stuff, like traveled around a little bit more later than I stuff, but I didn't go back to the wheel. Shit. Well, no, I will. I'm gonna. I know.
It doesn't open up anything besides.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Is
Asgard's not open yet?
No, and it doesn't.
Okay, that's interesting.
There's two post-game realms,
Muspelheim and Niflheim.
To go back to Loki really quick, they do foreshadowing of Atreus being more than something than he is, especially with the World Serpent, when Mimir's talking to him, and he's like, oh, I know him. Back to Atreus.
Yeah, because the World Serpent's so old or whatever it is.
No, not even that. It's said that the World Serpent, like, time-traveled from the future to the past, so... Loki or Atreus does something in the future that he...
Well, yeah, Norse mythology. So it's also funny, too, that, like, apparently a lot of people thought that the World Serpent was Nidhogg, and that they weren't using his name because, obviously, Nidhogg is, like, there's games that are named Nidhogg and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, the World Serpent's, like, a different character Norse mythology.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the whole Thor thing at the end was fucking really cool, because it was just, like, the fact that it just, like, leaves the possibilities for this franchise to do something.
It was so post-credit sequence, yeah.
Yeah.
And Corey Barlog has said that he has ideas for 5 more games. They're going to make 5 more games. And he was also saying that when they were writing the game, God of War, the one we just got, they cut back the story a lot because it got to the point where him and his writers, he was like, yo, we got to stop. Like, we're writing the second game, and I don't want this much going on. I want it to be a story of father and son just doing this. But, like, so, like, they have part of the second game, like, written. Like, that's how far they got into the writing process for this game. So.
Well, that was one of the better parts about, like, I think it's, like, one of the midpoints of the game when, I think it's right after you flip the temple, or right when you're about to flip the temple. Mm-hmm. When you go into, like, Odin's, like, one of Odin's workshop, and you open that panel, or you find the panel, I'm sorry, to one of the missing things, and it's Tyr in the realm between realms, and there's like all the symbols for the god of war in like all different, like,
you see the Omega system,
you see the Omega, you see
the pantheon of these, like, all the different, basically, there's, like, the
there's the Celtic symbol for god of war, the Greek, the Egyptian, and the Japanese symbol for god of war in all the corners. So they have,
and then you,
like,
see treasures in the Tyr's treasure room from
all different, like,
I don't think we're going to see any of that anytime soon.
I don't think so either. It's definitely going to be, it's just a cool Norse way to be like
mythology. If it's a trilogy, like,
no,
that'd be cool.
No, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Obviously,
well, yeah, they had to elaborate on the fact that, like, Kratos is in a different realm in a different, like, obviously mythology. Mm-hmm. So, like, the way that they were just like, oh, it's all just like one flat, like, the world itself.
Everything's,
you know,
separated by geography, so everything's going to have their own creation story.
That's one of the reasons why I liked fucking Mimir so much, is that, like, he was such a, like, a good, like...
Yeah, it was it's crazy to think that, like, when, before they introduced him, like, which they, it's like a quarter way through the game when, like, you get...
Yeah,
you have him for a while.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like, they introduce him at a point where it's like, in terms of storytelling and, like, expanding the world, not in, like, from a gameplay mechanic, but, like, expanding the world in terms of knowledge. You know, and, like, your knowledge of it and these characters.
He made the world feel super lived in, even though you didn't see any of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a perfect way to explain it.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah,
at any moment when you're either in the boat or traveling through the world tree, you're hearing a fucking Mimir tale, you know?
Is that a fart, or was that just a noise that came out of her?
She's snoring.
Oh. But, yeah, like, him, like, Mimir just even, like, talking about, like, Kratos. Like, I knew you were Greek when I saw you. Like, the fact that, like, the... You know, I mean, maybe it's just Mimir and also, you know, the gods and stuff, but, like, they know that these other, like, pantheons, like, exist.
Oh, him freaking out when he finds out that he's Zeus's son.
Well, like, when he fucking freaks out when he finds out that he's the ghost of Sparta. He's like,
yeah, he knew it.
You're
that
the
was.
Ghost of Sparta? Yeah. Like, he, like,
oh, you
the
lose
fact that
his
he,
shit.
The fact that he knew that alone, I was like, yes.
It's cool that it was only Mimir. Like, when you hear of, Freya saying, like, oh, like, gods don't like when other gods are here, blah, 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 or, mm-hmm. like, with Baldur going to see Kratos. Like, it was, like, all that talk you heard was about Atreus.
Yeah, none of it was...
Yeah, because, like, how...
He was after the boy.
Another thing that Corey said, he goes, with God of War 1, 2, and 3, Kratos is, like, the center of attention, and he's fucking everything up, and everyone knows who he is, whereas in this one, no one does. And his actions are just starting to draw attention to him. But it's still, like, he is, like, nothing compared to, like, what else is going on in the world.
Yeah.
Because, like, with God of War 1...
Well, within that part of the world, yeah.
Yeah, because with God of War 1, 2, and 3, you were in every god's face. You were murdering them. You know, here, you're just, like, another, like, everyday man. It's just, like...
Yeah, he lived out almost as, like, another life as a mortal, you know, with a had a family, you know, and, like...
But it's more of, like I was saying, just, like, how he, like, really was, like, nothing there. You know, he's just a speck on the world of Midgard.
Yeah, and obviously the son that they had was more important than he even knew, because, you know, they don't really allude to the fact that, like, if Kratos knew that his wife was a giant, you know, like, and of
he
this, like,
know.
Of a rare
yeah.
race, you know, that obviously has, like...
It, like, surprised him. He goes, wait, what?
Yeah. So he's like, obviously your mother had some secrets.
Well, yeah, when he's like, I'm not the only parent that kept secrets. I was like, God damn it, Kratos.
Yeah, come on,
be a dickhead about it.
Yeah, no, it was that whole fucking... The end of the game was very well done, and it really opens it up for a ton of different options in terms of, you know... And, like, another point, too, was, like, and they... I think it was in an interview that Corey did, I don't know with what publication, but apparently, like, the original ideas, like, when the game was, like, just in its inception period, they were talking about doing Egypt.
Yeah.
And which is, like, crazy to me that this game could have been that... Which also, if you think about Assassin's Creed, how that also came out this year,
mm-hmm.
and that, like, weighed so heavy in on, like, the Egyptian, like, you know, like, gods and things like that, and, like, you know, that mythology, in the sense where it's like, we very easily could have had two games, you know, that were super about Egypt.
Did you hear the reason why he chose not to do Egypt?
No.
Basically, like, you know, Kratos was trying to escape his past and try to get away from, you know, whatever the calamity that he caused in Greece, and Egypt, it was just not far enough. They're pretty close, like, geographically. So Egypt was not far enough. So he was like, you know what, let's send him, like, as far away as possible. Let's send him north. So that's how we ended up.
Yeah, no, that obviously that in terms of from a storytelling perspective, that makes a lot of sense.
So. But yeah, I really like.
It's just crazy we could have ended up with two very Egypt heavy games.
Yeah, no, I'm
relieved that it's
surprisingly enough out of the four that you know were shown. Obviously, the three that were shown in like that panel.
Yeah.
The one that I would probably look forward to the most, besides what we have right now, would probably be the Egyptian one.
Oh my god! Think of fighting Anubis. Yeah. Like, oh my god. We're like Origins is grounded Egyptian stuff.
Yeah.
Here they can go all fucking out.
Out. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Did you see what David Jaffe was saying?
No.
Well, David Jaffe originally what he said was like, oh, with God of War, like past, you know, what I worked on, which I think he only did one and maybe a little bit of two, he was gonna bring Kratos to Egypt. And like something like the Sphinx was gonna be something like a beast that he fought and he trapped with Medusa's head, and that's how we got like the statue. Like that was like one specific thing he talked about. So like the original plan was to bring Kratos like to the Egyptian like mythos and like start fucking shit up there. Like that was like in the pipeline during like the original three.
I just picture him fighting like fucking Anubis and like a Ra and like all those motherfuckers and it just being like crazy. I mean, realistically, I don't really know much about like the Celtic stuff, like the Celtic like pantheon or mythology. Like I
don't know no anything. Idea I have about nothing. It. I know who Sinead O'Connor is, and that's about it.
But like even the Japanese stuff could be fucking sick. Like just the gods that they have there are like, you know,
that's
they,
the thing
that
with like
thing could just be crazy
with Norse mythology and. Greek mythology, a lot of them are like not humans but like humanoid, like human form. With Egypt, Anubis is a
is a dog headed man.
Exactly, like that's and then, what I want to shit like that.
Yeah, that's when it's gonna start getting like bananas. They started doing that a little bit in God of War 3. Like Hades was just like a big gross like meat man with a mask.
And then Hades was real funky looking.
So like they started kind of doing that stuff in God of War 3. So I want them to like get there, even within these three games. Because I'm sure like they got the two wolves that are chasing the sun and moon.
Oh yeah, it can get fucking
like
wild.
I want to see that shit. Like
I mean, Thor himself was just like so like you obviously knew because like the other gods you come across, except for Baldur being like just like a fucking lanky dude. Like you know I'm forgetting the names of the other gods.
Magni and Modi.
They were just like big just fucking hunking dudes. You know, just like
hunking dudes.
You know, just like fucking like you think about Thor in like the Marvel movies. Like, he's just like a fucking huge dude.
Yeah.
You know, and Thor like obviously is just like his demeanor when he's at in front of the house. You know, he's fucking gigantic.
Yeah, he's just a big wide guy.
With just like a cloak, and then like the fucking hammer like shakes and the cloak moves, and you see the lightning coming from.
Which really it's cool to see that hammer resemble your axe a lot. Because Brock and his brother made it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you see the same engravings.
Yeah. It's like, what surprised me, I think, the most about the mythology, because again, I don't really know much about, like, Norse mythology. I know, like, basic shit. Like, how much of an asshole Odin and fucking Thor are. Like, they're just pieces of shit that just go around,
some of the
like,
stories
fucking
they tell
murder
about,
stuff.
Yeah. It's like, Odin, Thor was banished, you know, and just pretty much fucked shit up until they were like, okay, you could go back now. Like, you destroyed enough.
So, like, that stuff is just, like, bananas to me.
Yeah. Like, no, there's a lot of, like, rich, you know, like, lore there that you could kind of just continue. Like, I saw a lot of people posting, like, pictures of, like a Norse mythology, like, a book. And it was like, I saw like
Jason Schreier. It's like a certain video game may have influenced me to buy this.
Ryan McCaffrey, too.
It's like real fucking cute, Jason. Like,
yeah. So, yeah, no, it's I'm trying to think of that if there's any other story beats that would be spoilerish that I thought were really good, but I think we're covering like the big ones here.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot going on, but it also like everything felt
so hard to talk about the game.
The big, the big plot points were like, you know, memorable. Like they did a good job of like. I kind of talked about this I think last week, but they did a good job of filling in story beats. Like, while you were, like, sailing around and Mimir was telling you stories and, like, Kratos was telling stories to Atreus or whatever. And then, like, when there was an actual, like, a cut scene, that's when you knew, like, this is fucking, like, this is important. Like, pay attention to what's happening right now, please. So, like, that's all that stuff, like, really stuck out. And you can really, like, you know, you could really tell when shit was getting real.
Oh, how terrifying, and also how, like, not that it was lame, but it was just funny that, like, the geography in the World Serpent was just, like, you go inside the World Serpent.
Fuck yeah.
Like, and the
then
fact
it starts shaking, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, World Serpent's happening?
Yeah, Atreus reaches down, and he's like, oh, he's like, there's something in the water. And he's like, I kind of burns. Like, this is water, right? And you're like, no. Like, yeah. That's not.
I loved how innocent he was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah,
he's still a child.
Yeah,
so.
That was.
But they did a really good job at, like, showing that, like, he's learning.
Yeah, because that's what was, like, cool is, like, he didn't, like, Atreus from the beginning, like, going to the end, he's not very different. Like, he's just starting to, like, learn of the world outside of his cabin and his woods.
Well, yeah, like, once that little stint of him being a little shithead
yeah, but
is
he,
done.
But he doesn't
he
feel
like,
aged. Like, he doesn't
no, no, no. He,
feel like
he just feels
an
like
adult
a little,
now.
He feels, like, minorly more mature. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like,
where
he,
a lot
he,
of, like,
you,
yeah.
Like, the lessons that he learns are important in the sense of, like, this is going to mold who he is in, like, for years to come. Not in the sense of, like, a quick fix. Like, oh, now I'm a grown, like, I'm a grown up now because of what just happened. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, and like that, they portray that, and I was talking a little bit about it last week in like side quests and stuff. Like, you'll do certain things, like for one of like the ghosts, where it's like, oh, like if you return these bones to me, like I'll let you speak to your mother. And like Kratos immediately knows it is bullshit, mm-hmm. you know. And like you get back, you return the bones, and then like the fucking waif like spawns a like a witch thing that you murder.
Reaver,
you know.
Fuck those things.
Yeah, and then like Kratos immediately says to Atreus, like, all right, like what did we learn?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of the game was like lessons for either both of them or just Atreus or just Kratos.
Yeah. So no, it's and like it's cool too knowing that like this could turn more into more games, obviously, and like
With the amount of money it made.
Yeah. So like you know, like if you played this one and like how impactful these moments were, like they're obviously going to like have this, you know, impact in terms of the franchise as a whole and with these two characters. So
I just want to pull up God of War sold 3.1 million copies in the first 3 days.
Gross.
Yeah, that's crazy.
3 days, 3.1 million.
Well, did that beat GTA 5, or is that close to GTA 5?
No, well, GTA 5, in the first opening days, I don't know. But GTA 5 is, like, Guinness Book World Records, like, the highest earning, like, form of just, like, media.
No, I think
pretty sure.
Tetris still is.
Are you sure?
We could pull. I'm sure we could. That's a quick Google search. But, yeah, they did the list recently. On Giant Bomb, or not, maybe like 6 months ago. So that's kind of recent, I guess, in terms of, you know, time. But I remember they were saying that it was crazy that GTA 5 was in the top 10 overall video game sales because of games like Tetris and Pac-Man have been around so much longer, and those are so, like, iconic.
And GTA 5's first day of retail, it sold 11.21 million units and made 815 million.
Okay, never mind.
Well, that's across how many platforms in God of War's on one console.
And then... it's the best-selling act. This is from 2013, so some of this is dated. It's the best-selling action adventure video game in 24 hours. Best-selling video game in 24 hours. Fastest entertainment property to gross $1 billion. So that's what it is.
So
fastest video game to gross $1 billion. Fastest, highest grossing video game in 24 hours.
I have the list
revenue,
in terms of sales.
Trailer.
In terms of sales. Oh, so they were talking about... it was PUBG, actually, was the one that they were referencing. And this was on maybe... H3 when they were talking about.
I think we talked about this on one of the episodes.
Yeah,
actually.
So in terms of going off those sales numbers, and I was saying it before, like GTA is actually third on the list of overall games. It's Tetris, Minecraft, GTA 5, Wii Sports, surprisingly, Super Mario, the original, and then PUBG is 6.
What's funny about Wii Sports is like Wii Sports is like because it was bundled in with
Wii,
that's why it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's 100% why it's there.
Either way. All right, so I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to touch on here, or you guys want to wrap it up.
I mean, was there anything else really?
No, I think we kind of covered and spoiled the big plot points.
Did you guys free all the dragons?
Yes.
No, I have one more. Cool. I also have to do all the Valkyries. So
yeah, Valkyries
the only,
are
yeah, I have to finish like trophy wise. I'm on the last Valkyrie.
I have to find the last.
Are you still doing the Muspelheim one or no?
I have to do that one. I have to do the. I have to finish the. Because with Muspelheim, you finish all the challenges, you fight the Valkyrie, and then you unlock 5 more challenges. You only have to do 3 to get the key to unlock the last challenge. So I have to do that. I have to get the last chest and all the rifts, or the realm tears in Niflheim. And then I have to do the collectibles, and then I got the plat.
Cool.
Brad got it, by the way.
Nice.
Brad got the platinum.
Cool.
He's at the worst part where the crows, because you don't know. Yeah, which no, crows you like. It tells you what how many crows you have in an area, but it doesn't tell you which crows you have.
Yeah, as much as I love the game and I want to like go back to it and just continue to like explore and do and like trophy hunt, that's one of the ones where it's like I don't know if that's something I'm going to do because that just seems frustrating.
I'm definitely going to do the Valkyries, and I'm definitely going to do
well because like, those also unlock more story elements. Realm yeah, stuff. So.
And to do the Valkyrie, I need to level up my armor, so which means I'm going to be in Niflheim for a while.
Yeah.
Doing the... It's pretty much like a procedure-generated dungeon.
You have to do
dungeon.
The Valkyrie Queen is what you have to do.
Yeah, that's what I got to fight. Yeah. Did you do that yet?
No. I haven't even been in the Muspelheim Valkyrie yet.
Okay. Yo, the way it's like... You know the Realm Tears?
Mm-hmm.
Where you reach in... And then you get like
back. Yeah, you reach in. I've seen
she just
start
grabs your fucking head and drives it. Like as soon as you put your arm in, she explodes out of it, grabs your fucking head and just drives it into the ground.
I've seen the start of it. Yeah.
It startled me. Like
that rules.
It was cool though. Yeah, I ain't got nothing else to say. You could take us out to see if you were Pat to tell me anything else.
Did.
No, that's not. That's
all right. So obviously, if you've listened to this, you've played a lot of God of War. If you haven't, then we just spoiled the shit out of it for you. So that's really cool and great.
You were warned.
But this is the OK Gamers podcast. I'm Brian here with my good pal Andy and Pat. Dan, get fucked. You can find me at Twitter. It's into Brian. You can find Andrew at Andrew Gabby.
That's yeah.
I just Pit at PC Mirth. OKGamers.com. You can jump in our Discord and talk to us about more God of War. So that's it. Everybody enjoy the remainder of your lives. I'm upset none of you said it with me.
Enjoy the remainder of your lives.
Enjoy the remainder of your lives.
Thanks.